Let us turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 15, and let us consider part of verse 13. Exodus 15, at verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and to thy holy habitation. And just now, these words, thou hast guided them in thy strength and to thy holy habitation. Last Sabbath evening, we were considering the first part of the verse, God in his mercy. This was Moses singing with the children of Israel by way of worship to God and thanksgiving to God after they had crossed to the other side of the Red Sea. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. God had delivered them, not only as an act of power, but in the way of, well, at least, there was that to be considered alongside it, the way of a price being paid. Certainly that is true in connection with the deliverance from a spiritual Egypt, from bondage to sin and to Satan. It is not merely an act of deliverance by power, but there is redemption in the stricter sense, you might say, what involves paying a price. And there was something of that in the deliverance from Egypt. There was a lamb to be slain at the Passover. And that was a sign that for the deliverance of a sinner from from the kingdom of Satan, there must be a sacrifice. If seeing the wages of sin is death, there must be death when there is deliverance from sin. And that is how it is in connection with the sacrifice of Christ. In Christ Jesus, coming into the world to save sinners. And why did he come? It was so that he would die, so that he would die in the place of sinners, so that he would give his life a ransom for many. Now, as far as the picture is concerned, what technically we would call the type, they had already been brought out. And now, this is anticipated, that God would guide them in his strength to his holy habitation. Now, on the typical level, on the level of the history of the children of Israel, God was to guide them. God was to bring them to the place that he had appointed for his people, that he would bring them to Israel. And we may notice later on how that can be spoken of as a holy habitation. But as far as what is pictured is concerned, what we have is that God will guide his people, those who put their trust in him, those who put their trust in the redemption price. He will guide them to a better world where, in a stricter sense, God is where God has his holy habitation. God will guide them. That's a certainty. It's even put in this way, thou hast guided them, though that only had gone this far at that stage, God bringing them out of Egypt, God bringing them on their journey and no more, just out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. There were 40 years of wandering before them. but God would take them safe. And so it is with those who trust in Christ, who hear the call to come. Christ is calling, he is still calling. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are those who have been, who have obeyed. They have come out. They have come to Christ. They have believed in him. They have trusted in him and the great work of redemption that he had accomplished. But you see, he is going to bring them safely on their way to a better land, where God, in a special way, dwells, where he has his habitation. Now, of course, God is everywhere. We cannot understand that. But you see, that's a testimony of God's word, so we're to believe it. But there's a special dwelling of God in heaven, and he is going to bring his people there. He is going to guide them powerfully. He is going to exercise his strength, his power, to guide them safely on their way. And no one, no power, no being is going to pluck them out of his hand. Now, as far as the Lord's promise was concerned, the Lord's promise to Israel in Egypt, he said, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will bring you out. I will exercise my power. And there were many such promises. And it was a matter of God making a covenant with them that he would indeed bring them out. If he had spoken, it was inevitable that he would make it good. God will not make promises and then break them. God will not make promises and then it will turn out that the promise will be broken. That was true for Israel in bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them at last to the promised land. He said through Moses, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mount, Mount Sinai. That was promised to Moses when he was a shepherd in these parts. The Lord was preparing him for his work as a leader of Egypt. But what we're pointing to just now is this. The Lord making a promise. And there was a token to that promise. You see, in one way, the promise of God should be sufficient for us. In another way, you see, God is pleased to give tokens, give signs, to strengthen the faith of those who are putting their trust in him. And let us just refer to the Lord's Supper just now, seeing that is not far from us as we trust in God's providence, that it is a token. Take it as a token just now. I'm not going to try to expound all the doctrine in connection with the Lord's Supper, but just to notice this just now. It is an ordinance appointed by Christ himself for the encouragement of his people to strengthen them in connection with the promises. There are the symbols of Christ's death, the blood shown forth by the wine and the broken bread. It's a symbol of Christ's broken body, broken for you, as he says. Now, as they see these symbols, these signs, these tokens of his death, they are to exercise faith in the one who died. They are to trust afresh in Christ as the one who died. They are to commit themselves to and seek his blessing. That's what's shown there. You see, every time the believer takes the Lord's Supper, the Lord is renewing his promise as if they had never heard it before. The Lord is making that promise to them over again, assuring them how certain it is that, for instance, he will never leave them nor forsake them, and having brought them out, that he will bring them in to the place that he has appointed for them. Now that was proved sure in connection with the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt. It will be proved sure in connection with all those who begin to trust in Christ, that they will be brought safely home to heaven. Now, take it in this way, as you have it in Romans 8, where there is that golden chain, as it has been described, which takes you from God's eternal purpose right on to the holy habitation at last. Right on to that holy habitation. That's what we have, whom he justified. This is the last part in the chain, the last link in the chain. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now it's not just spoken in connection with those that have already got home to heaven. Yes, they were justified and they were glorified. But it's spoken in connection with all who have a part in them or a place in God's everlasting law, his predestination, his foreknowledge, his eternal loving purpose, to those whom he will bring home at last. But you see, there's this just now, whom he redeemed and brought out of Satan's kingdom. He justified them the moment they believe in Christ. And if you watch them on the way, if you can identify them, those who are living a godly life, those who are concerned to get good for their souls from the means of grace, from the public worship of God in particular, from the preach. They want to be included in the prayers, and they're seeking to pray themselves. They're not depending on their prayers. They're not depending on any religious actions, whatever. The Lord has been delivering them from that. He redeemed them, you see. He delivered them by his strength from the ways of thinking that are true of those who are still in bondage to sin. But he brings them out. He sets them on their way. He's going to lead them on safely. And what we were saying was that at the point when he brings them out, when he enables them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they believe. And when they believe, they are justified. The Lord is making a statement, as it were. A statement, you might say to himself. He's making a statement in heaven. This person is free from all the accusations that God's justice at one time, up till then, would bring against them. They are to be treated as if they had never sinned. They are to be treated as if they had always kept the law of God perfect. It's all for the sake of Christ and what he has done, you see. The idea of being redeemed redeem not only from the consequences of sin, but from the power of sin. Set free to serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. That's what we have. And each one of them is to be led on safely. They are to be guided in divine strength, or by divine strength, to God's holy habitation. Now, there was a promise made to the Israelites. And that's what Moses is reflecting. You see, what's true of Moses is that he has faith in God's promises. Moses has faith in God's promises, and so he sings, "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established." And no doubt, we are to see that fulfilled in the tabernacle, and more particularly in the temple, that holy place where there was the cloud that had guided them all the way through the wilderness. And now that cloud was to be found in the tabernacle and in the temple as a symbol of God himself, a symbol of his presence. You see, what we have is God making this his holy habitation. And wherever God will dwell, it is a holy place. If God will come to dwell in the heart of a sinner, he sets it apart as a holy place, as a temple. Now that's a wonder. A sinner, and a sinner still. And yet it has been set apart for the holy presence of God. That's what you have. But what he is saying is, thou shalt bring them in the place which thou hast made. Perhaps you could say, in the place which thou hast appointed for thee to dwell. God's place. Well, ultimately, that's heaven. That's the better world. And he's going to guide each and every one of them. Just as he brought Israel through the wilderness by his strength, by his power, in his kindness, he brought them safely into the promised land. So he will bring each of his people into the place that he has promised for them. And you have that. He said directly by the Savior to his disciples when he was going to leave them, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He has gone. He will return. He will return to bring his people from their graves. He will bring everyone from their grave. Whether that will be a blessed thing or not is another matter. But it will be a blessed thing for those who have put their trust in it. He will never leave. Not only will he bring his souls, bring their souls to heaven at the point of death, but he will bring their bodies to heaven also. They will be complete people again. Death will be reversed. They will be with himself forever and ever. He will not leave till he will bring not only us to their bodies, but as not only as to their souls, I should have said, but as to their bodies also. He will. You see, he's made the promise. He will. He has given tokens, as we've been noticing, tokens that give further confidence to those who have a right to these blessings. Those who have begun, however weakly, to follow Christ. You see, he will bring them home. He will bring them at last to his holy habitation. Now, when John was receiving visions that are recorded in the book of Revelation, he says this: I look, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. I looked. You see, the lamb as it had been slain, it was there on in a place of which Mount Zion was a picture. He saw the lamb. And the lamb, everyone would recognize it. Every Israelite anyway would recognize as pointing to a sacrifice. And he speaks of it as a lamb that had been slain. It was there, still showing the signs of having been crucified. And that is why, that is the basis on which those who believe will be brought to glory. That's the basis on which they will be brought safely on their way to glory. Yes? And that's the way, that's the basis on which you here this evening who have believed in Christ will be brought safely on your way by divine power to God's eternal habitation, where the human body of the Savior can be seen, and is divine nature and the Holy Trinity, they will be sensed. It will not be by the eye of the body, but the human body of Christ will be seen with bodily eyes. And you see, the great matter is this, that all who believe will be brought to everlasting glory. They will be brought safely there. They will enjoy eternal happiness. And the question, as far as we are concerned, is this: will we be there? Well, as we've been trying to emphasize, we will be there if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you will be there if you believe in Jesus Christ now. That's what you are to do. You're a sinner. You deserve eternal punishment because of your sins, and that's true of the Lord's people also. That's what was the case. But you see, however guilty you may be, however careless you may have been, the Lord is calling. He's calling you now. Yes, he is telling us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we should be saved. To believe in Christ, to trust in him as the one who died in the place of sinners. We're to trust him. And then all will be well, even at death. Solemn, awful, though death is, that fearful separation of soul from body. But all will be well. If that is the final step in the Lord guiding us powerfully to the place where he dwells forever and ever. Well, may the Lord bless his word.